The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Take still to come. What would one more title do for LeBron's legacy? We'll discuss that in a bit. Plus, Malika Andrews joining us to discuss all things NBA ahead of opening night. And of course, plenty of football left to talk. Lamar Jackson with Mina Kimes. We'll get into that shortly. Stay here with us. All right. Right now, though, guys, Josh Allen nearly pulled off the win last night for the Bills, but slipped on fourth down, and the Titans escaped with the home victory. Even with the loss, according to Caesars, Allen's odds still second in the MVP race. Kyler at the top of those odds. And you can take a list. We'll pull those up for you in a second. Hello, Mina Kimes. Where is she? She'll be coming on the screen shortly.
I'm right here. And okay. I want to be clear. I'm not making this face because I'm seeing you guys. I'm delighted to see you. I'm making this face because I'm seeing those odds for the first time. And they are bananas. That is a recent MVP odds? That makes no sense. And I want to be clear about something coming off of last night. Josh Allen is not why the Bills lost. He actually didn't play poorly. But the notion that he should be an MVP favorite over the likes of Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, and Tom Brady? Who's making these odds? That makes no sense. Maybe someone's trying to get in on some sweet action with Lamar, because that does not check out with me.
None at all. You talk about MVP, most valuable player.
Yeah.
Now, if Josh Allen isn't there, they do got a backup in Mitch Trubisky that could win some games for him. Lamar Jackson ain't there. They ain't winning nothing. Okay, you think about Tom Brady not being there. They ain't winning nothing. Nothing at all. Kyler Murray, nothing.
Whoa.
They're not winning anything. So in the end, I don't like the list nor the odds, so maybe they just throwing it against the wall and hope it stick.
Yeah, maybe so. I totally agree with y'all. I don't understand what the hell is going on with that. Lamar Jackson definitely deserves to be ahead of Josh Allen as an MVP candidate. Kyler Murray deserves to be ahead of him. Dak Prescott deserves to be ahead of him. And Tom Brady, absolutely.
I didn't even mention Dak Prescott. Think about what the Dallas Cowboys looked like a year ago when Dak Prescott wasn't in there. You take those four guys away from their teams, and we'll see what they look like. You take Josh Allen away?
Hold on. I will say
pull
this,
pull up the odds one more time, guys. Can we pull up those odds one more time?
I will say this. I don't know what Buffalo would be without Josh Allen either. He shouldn't be ahead of those other guys.
I didn't say they was going to win the AFC, but it's not like they're going to all of a sudden just fall apart.
Hold on. Right. Wait, I got one question for you, though, Mina. I realize that they didn't lose the game because of Josh Allen, but do you think losing Monday Night Football to the Titans, do you think that hurts his MVP odds?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, he is not even in the top five or six of reasons why they lost. To me, that starts with the defense and their inability to defend play action down the stretch, some of the issues on both sides, frankly, in the trenches. But Josh Allen did make some mistakes in this game. Beyond the fumble, missed some open receivers. Some moments where he was pressing, maybe should have been picked off. Again, it was a good game. It was a good performance. But we're at a moment right now in the NFL where there are three or four quarterbacks who are playing at such a high level. The margin for error is thin if we're having an MVP conversation. And I'll add one more thing. Josh Allen wasn't even the best player between the two teams on the field. Derrick Henry looked more like an MVP than he did last night, and I didn't see him on there.
Well, Josh
Allen. It's just so hard for a running back to win.
He did throw for 353 yards, and Keyshawn and I were looking at each other because nobody has mentioned Aaron Rodgers.
They've won
five straight. Now, he hasn't been putting up prolific numbers, but the dimes that he's been throwing in key pivotal moments cannot be ignored, just reminding us what a bad man he is. But Josh Allen did have a good game. We can't sneeze at that.
Perfect segue. Let's get to Aaron Rodgers, former coach. So yesterday on First Take, the playmaker, Michael Irvin, said his one concern with Dallas is the coaching. We all know Mike McCarthy has had some suspect clock management this season. Keyshawn, do you trust Mike McCarthy to get them to the Super Bowl?
They ran off five games in a row with W's after losing on opening night against the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Absolutely. Until he shows me different, I ain't got no reason to believe anything other than that. Show me something, because I know everybody points to clock management, this, yeah. clock management. He ain't cost him no games. He hasn't cost him anything. But coulda, shoulda, woulda. It didn't happen, though, Mina. And I understand people feel a certain way about Mike McCarthy because last year, also what went on at the end with Aaron Rodgers, the Dallas Cowboys brand, Stephen A. can't stand the Dallas Cowboys. It eats him alive.
Defense.
It
make me
eats
sick.
Him
it make
alive.
Me throw up.
You know, yes. And Michael Irvin told him to make sure to punch that ticket. What I would say, though, what Mike said yesterday is make sure the ticket says refund just in case.
That's what I said. Make sure the tickets are refundable. I hope that.
Way
hope
to go
I,
out you know on a limb.
You know what?
You know what?
That's one of the rare regrets. That's one of the rare regrets me and I have on First Take.
Hold on.
That's one of the rare regrets I have doing First Take, that I told Cowboy fans to get a refundable ticket. I'd rather they not. Go ahead and invest and lose your money. That would make me feel even better about
you're
the Cowboy fan.
You're foul for that.
I'm just,
and Keyshawn, if you're going to go there. Buy the tickets.
No. Buy the tickets. No refundable tickets. Yeah. Go ahead and lose your money. Lose your money. Like a damn slot machine.
You have problems. Mina, I'd like
that's
to
right.
hear
from
you. Steven, you know, we've been disagreeing about the Cowboys for a long time. You finally come around on how good they are. But I'm with you here, and I think I'm opposed to Keyshawn, because I think Mike McCarthy is the single reason why I harbor some hesitation about Dallas making it to the Super Bowl. And Key, you're right that some of his clock management snafus have not cost them games, but we've seen this guy's body of work at this point across, you know, now multiple teams over the course of many years. We're looking at the game yesterday where, again, not only clock management issues, which you can point to, and yes, that is on the head coach, and yes, it will probably happen again, but I actually find some of his decisions on fourth down puzzling as well. Going for it early and being aggressive and then not later in the game, there seems to be no rhyme or reason. The one defense I will make of Mike McCarthy is the fact that he has ceded responsibility as a play caller, that he's put trust on both sides of the ball in his coordinators, who I think are doing a fantastic job. But when we are talking about Super Bowl and the difference between, you know, the Cowboys and the Bucks, or potentially the Cowboys and the Rams or the Cardinals, these little mistakes by a head coach when it comes to clock management, timeouts, and going for it can cost you.
Keyshawn,
that could be the difference between a championship and a Super Bowl.
I'll give you the last word, Keyshawn. Here's what I want to say to you. You said it hasn't hurt them yet. Stop. The competition matters. Going up against Jalen Hurts, going up against Sam Darnold without Christian McCaffrey, going up against Daniel Jones and those pathetic Giants, going up against...
Be nice.
Whatever. The point is, they are what they are. And then going up against a rookie in Mac Jones, that's entirely different. I'm saying that's entirely different than going up against Tom Brady, going up against Aaron Rodgers, going up against Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. Going up against teams like that, what I'm saying to you is this. You can't sit up there and look at it and say, well, you know, it hasn't hurt him yet. It'll hurt him against an experienced squad that's more playoff ready. Right. I'll tell you that, Keyshawn.
So you got a problem with him calling timeout, trying to make a decision on whether or not to go for a kick or field goal. So people got a problem with that. They say clock management. When you on third and 25 pushing the ball down the field and all of a sudden you get a big chunk, now you call a timeout because a decision needs to be made as a group to go for it or kick the field goal. So people got a problem with that. He makes the field goal. That's a problem. You got a problem with him going for it early in the game in a hostile environment on the road in a trap game. They don't get it. People got a problem
on
with that.
On your own 34-yard line? Right.
Yes, you do those sort of things in certain situations depending on the pulse of the team.
Let's give Mina the final word, and then I got to get
really
in a break.
Quick with the timeout. Yeah. Again, if you're giving a quarterback time totally unnecessarily to come back down the field and beat you, that is the kind of mistake that will cost them, like Stephen A. said, against an Aaron Rodgers. That's all I have to say.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
this week, Tuesday night hockey matchup features Matthew Barzal and the Islanders in Chicago to take on Patrick Kane, Jonathan Taves, and the Blackhawks. Our coverage begins at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. You can always watch it on the ESPN app from anywhere. One app, one tap. How about the Ravens' outstanding play? Baltimore's defense shut down Justin Herbert while Lamar Jackson and the offense ran all over the Chargers in Sunday's 34-6 win. The Ravens are currently in the driver's seat in the AFC at 5-1. But one person still has questions about Lamar Jackson. Here he is.
What do I always say about the quarterback spot, Molly?
The court?
It's about accuracy. Mm. It's about accuracy. And by the way, when it counts. Lamar Jackson has played in 4 playoff games.
Okay.
3 of them, he's failed to reach 60% completion percentage mm-hmm. with his passes. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson has been dominant in the regular season. When we start talking about you and we use words like greatness and what have you, what solidifies that? It's what you do when it counts.
You know, Mina, I'm not even going to ask you a question. Just go, please.
I find the discourse around Lamar Jackson so frustrating sometimes because it's almost like playing whack-a-mole. If it's not one thing or it's another. I'll start with what we just watched, Steven, talking about the playoffs. It's a fair criticism, but this guy's played 2 full seasons in the NFL. 2 full seasons. Let's not count the first one. Cut him some slack. I mean, your beloved Kyler Murray hasn't even been to the playoffs at this point. It's always, can he play from the pocket? Even though in 2019 he ranked 2nd in QBR from the pocket, he's crushing it this year. Can he lead a comeback? Even though, again, most quarterbacks struggle with comebacks. Finally, that narrative has been shot this season after he's led these incredible comebacks. It's like the goalposts on Lamar Jackson get moved so many damn times they're in the bleachers at this point. I feel like we can't just appreciate his greatness. He's constantly nitpicking over and over. Steven, he's playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Let's appreciate what we're seeing.
See, I feel like I want Mina to keep going and just keep going and talk to Stephen A. a little bit more for me, because this is what I tried to tell him earlier on the show. You keep moving the goalposts. Yeah. 1 minute, can he? All the way back to college, Mina. This guy play the position? Well, that was answered. Well, can he make it to the playoffs? Mm. That was answered. Then he gets an MVP. Then he wins a playoff game.
Right.
Oh, he can't throw. They need to readjust the offense so he can become a better passer. Well, the dude's completing like 68% plus completion percentage. And if the receivers just catch the ball, it'll be even higher.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like you said, Mina, 2 full seasons. Discount the first season, and we're not even halfway through this season. So I don't understand why this whole question marks about what he could do when every single year he just keeps getting better. Just accept it and roll with it.
You finished?
I'm finished.
Let me tell y'all something. Y'all are just killing me with this. You're making me laugh. You really, really are. Moving the goalposts. First of all, you got the wrong brother, because I loved him coming out of Louisville, and I didn't think he should have went 32nd overall. But evidently, NFL aficionados thought so, because he was the very last pick in the first round of the NFL draft. Last time I checked, Baker Mayfield was picked before him. Josh Allen was picked before him. There were a few people picked before Lamar Jackson. Let's take that into consideration. Why did they do that? Because they had questions about him. Let me finish. Not me, them. I like them coming out of Louisville, okay? That's number one. Number two, when we look at him and we say, okay, the guy is 35-8 as a starter. He's been absolutely electrifying. We know that he can run with the football. He's the greatest runner with the football out of the quarterback position we have ever seen in NBA, in NFL history. This dude is approaching his 3rd consecutive 1,000-yard rushing season. So it's not like people should be delegitimized for pointing out the brother's mercurial talents as a runner from the quarterback position, because he's done what no one else has done in NFL history, running the football from the quarterback position. Nobody's ever done it. Now, the only thing that I consistently bring up, as I do with every quarterback, I brought it up with Tim Tebow. I'm not comparing the two.
No, you didn't.
No, what I'm saying is I have been one who has religiously pointed to accuracy from the quarterback position towards everybody. Now, Lamar Jackson's completing 67% of his passes. The guy wins football games. All I've ever said is what I continue to say.
He's great. He's box office, paid a man, et cetera, et cetera. But when I bring up the playoffs, why do I bring up the playoffs? It's not just because of Lamar Jackson. It's because who he's going against. And when everybody points out his age and his youth, I point out the fact that Patrick Mahomes is young and he's in the same conference. Josh Allen is young and he's in the same conference. Joe Burrow's coming maybe. He's in the same conference. Baker Mayfield is there, even though I don't think Baker Mayfield compares to Lamar Jackson. He's in the same conference. There are people that you're going to directly have to go up against.
That don't change anything.
And I'm pointing to what I saw in the postseason. The last time we saw him in the postseason, he scored 3 points. You're going to have to do better.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
But you named a bunch
That's all I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with that.
You named a bunch of quarterbacks that have won a game in the postseason.
He won a game in the postseason. Josh Allen was in the AFC Championship game.
Okay, so is he going to make it back to the AFC Championship game this year?
He might. Okay. But he already has.
His schedule was put before.
Wait a minute. Listen.
So,
we all understand. But at the end of the day, I'm saying to you, it's not like Lamar Jackson's the dude on the come up and they're Tom Brady. No, they're damn near as young as he is. They're there. You're going to have to go against them.
I want to say, Steve, I think you're making a fair point about the fact that Lamar Jackson has not been as accurate in the postseason in a very limited sample size as he's been at times in the regular season. I talked about the 2019 MVP season. You could throw out 2018. Oh, but one thing I do want to add, you've been bringing out completion percentage. His wide receiver core, which is worse, by the way, than quarterback you've mentioned, has had key drops in every one of those postseason losses, and that matters. That's why you can't just take completion percentage. Yeah. I think right now, going into this season, big part of the reason why I'm so confident about the Ravens is I think this passing game, and not just Lamar Jackson, the entire group, Rashad Bateman coming back, Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews playing some of the best football of his career, they look better than they have Lamar Jackson's entire career. It's a team sport, Steve. You know this is a team that's been killed by drops in playoff games.
I'm sorry, Mina. I got to get on you, and I damn sure got to get on you. I'm getting ready to tell you how. After every playoff loss, all of y'all were on the air talking about how he needed to improve his accuracy.
No.
I didn't get that out of thin air.
No.
Y'all did it. You too, Mina.
No, you said that.
I did not ever say
he needed. He is what he is. They got to catch the damn ball. They got to catch the football. I know they dropped the ball.
Keyshawn, you didn't bring up that he needed to improve as a passer when he lost those playoff games.
No, he never brought that up. They got to use him a certain way.
Here's what I want to say, y'all. Like, it's week 7. We're having a conversation. Steven, you brought up some legitimate concerns about the playoff performances. Questions, is he improving passer as a passer? He has. You guys are watching what I'm watching.
And he's going to continue.
So the question was, had Lamar Jackson lead the Ravens to the Super Bowl? And I feel with great confidence he can.
I'll make you all smile. Stephen A., it's fluid. Don't worry. It's fluid. And that's where we're going next, everyone.
It's cool.
Fantastic debate. It's okay.
It's all right.
It's okay.
It's all right. I'm just saying. Let this be open. I mean, we talking about
you
me.
You got double team. I've seen Mina question Lamar Jackson sometimes.
I've seen it.
All the best double team.
I'm not a fan.
Don't get me started with you. Ooh, Keisha. Ooh. Okay. All right. Oh, I'm going to be watching.
Derek Carr did pretty good last week.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
That's right. It's fluid, okay? It's fluid, but it don't matter. Don't need to be. It's time for Stephen's A-List. My top 5 NFL teams following week 5. Y'all ready for this?
Well, I'm ready.
Are you ready for this?
I've
Let's get
ready.
It on. Give me number 5, please. Put it
it up there for me right now. Bam! The Baltimore Ravens. Why? That brother Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Ain't he something special? That's what Keyshawn been saying. That's what Nita Khan's been saying. That's what everybody's been saying. And we see that cats are not dropping the football, and the defense is real. We'll ignore the first 2 weeks of the season. They did hold the Los Angeles Chargers to 6 points. Yes. I understand they had to make a West Coast trip or all across the country to the East Coast, playing at 10 a.m. in the morning their time. It was a little adjustment for them. They wasn't ready. But the bottom line is the Ravens handled their business. I got to put them at number 5. Give me number 4, please. Give it to me right now. The reigning defending Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Why? We saw what Tom Brady has been doing. We see Antonio Brown coming on. We know Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and the boys are there. Leonard Fournette is there as well. Defense still injury prone. Got to come together. But the bottom line is 5-1. I can't put them any higher than 4 when I got the blowout loss to the Los Angeles Rams. I'm holding that against them, but they still top 5. Let's go to number 3 on the list, please. Give it to me. Bam! The Rams. That's why I couldn't put the Bucs at number 3, because the Rams are there. You got Matthew Stafford handling his business. Granted, they got a virtual bye week. They went against the Giants. Yeah. You know what? There's going to come with that. We understand that. But Matthew Stafford slinging that football. Woods, Cooper Kupp, utilizing those brothers. We see what they're bringing to the table. I like what I'm seeing. And the defense is there. And Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford, clearly they made the right move by getting rid of Jared Goff. We can all admit that. They're number 3. Give me number 2 on the list, please. Give it to me right now. The Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Why? Because you didn't expect me to be objective. But I am objective. Even though they were going against the New England Patriots, who are not what they used to be, in the end, the offense looks absolutely lethal. Dak Prescott is a candidate for league MVP. Trayvon Diggs is the defensive player of the year thus far, even though T.J. Watt is coming. The bottom line is when you look on both sides of the ball and what they're bringing to the table, you can't argue with this. And I'm telling you what, something else you can't argue with. Keyshawn, Jeff Saturday, give me number 1, please. The Arizona Cardinals. Why? Because Kyler Murray is that dude. DeAndre Hopkins ain't even get loose yet. A.J. Green has been resurrected. The defense is opportunistic, and they are the lone undefeated team in the entire NFL. I got Arizona. I got the Cowboys. I got the Los Angeles Rams. I got the reigning defending champion Buccaneers, and I got the Baltimore Ravens, my top 5. A-list. Stevens A-list. I don't want to hear nothing from y'all on this one. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's actually a pretty decent list.
Yeah, fine.
This is what I would say, though. You're off Aaron Rodgers' Christmas list. All right, you go.
Yes.
Because what happened to the bad man?
Yes.
So here's my question.
They're running the ball.
If they're all signing up and they're all going to play each other, are you taking these QBs over your bad man?
No, the list is fluid.
No, it's fluid.
The list is fluid.
You better jump
it's
in fluid.
Fluid. It's fluid.
You just saw what Aaron Rodgers did. Yeah, he just did all this in Chicago.
Chicago, I own you. I still own you.
You better stay on his good side.
That's right.
You better stay on his good side. He needs to be up in this list somewhere. I would actually
take. Well, he got to come on first take. He got to stop going to Pat McAfee all the time. He got to come on first take.
I would take the Rams. I would actually take the Rams off, and I would put Green Bay up there.
What?
Yes. Yes, I would. I would. I would just tell you, when I look at Green Bay Packers, when I look at them as a squad, I would put them up there. I just think when you start talking about QBs and what they can do, I like Matt Stafford. He's got to show me in the big time. Got to show me in the big time right now.
But it's week 5, week 6 of the season.
It's fluid. It's fluid. That's why I'm saying it's fluid. But I still got to put, as hot as Aaron Rodgers has been playing since week 1, I'm going to have to put them up in there.
Yeah, the only problem, and I'm kind of with Jeff, and we ain't teaming up on you, 3 I saw them this weekend against the Giants. They did the Giants what they should have did to
them. Sure. Right?
Kick them and hold them down. Right. There's no question about it.
Okay.
But Aaron Rodgers and then Sean McVay, when it gets tough, sometimes Sean McVay game planning and calling plays in game is a little suspect to me. Aaron Rodgers got to be on this list. I don't give a damn if you put a slash right there.
My issue with Green Bay right now is they're winning. I'm looking at I thought about that. Okay, because I can't move the Bucs. I got to give the Ravens their props. But when it came to the Packers, all I was thinking about was the week before, it took you overtime to take Cincinnati
that's
out.
And
Cincinnati's then it's week to week. What are you doing the week before?
Week to week, and then this week.
This team that you got number 1 struggled against Jacksonville to the end.
I understand that, but they're undefeated. But what I'm saying to you is I'm looking at them, and I'm saying, all right, that bad man throwing for under 200 yards. He's throwing dimes when he needs to, no question about it. But it's not like he's been prolific. He hasn't
had to be.
They're running the ball.
You just don't like him running it. That's what you're basically saying.
And at number 5, you question the Ravens. You questioned them. You've been questioning them.
A postseason.
It's the regular season.
It's week six regular season. Let me ask you this.
Where were the Bills last week? Where did you have the Bills last week?
I forgot where I had them, but they were top five. They got to fall out of the top five. They lost to Tennessee.
Were they?
No, they were, never number one. Cardinals and Cowboys have been one or two the last couple weeks.
I'm just making sure because I know the Bills were up there.
The list is fine, and I agree with Jeff when you start to look at the quarterback.
Okay.
Outside of Tom Brady, these other dudes haven't proved anything in the postseason when you go up against Aaron Rodgers.
All right. Once the postseason starts, now you start projecting about the Super Bowl aspirations, stuff like that, and that comes into consideration.
But why are you going week to week?
Why are you going week to week?
Are you going to kick out the Ravens if it gets to the postseason?
I might. It depends on what I see.
Stephen A. It's good, but there's a lot of inconsistency, a lot of hypocrisy throughout the show. You know, top of the show, giving Lamar a hard time, then you love
not giving Lamar a hard
time. There's a lot of that.
He doesn't stick with a common thread.
And he tries to use the postseason as a deflection.
I just want you to think about that moving forward, being a little more consistent throughout the show.
No. It's fluid.
Just think about it.
The show is fluid.
On Thursday. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. The NBA 75th season tips off tonight. Our first doubleheader tomorrow. Jason Tatum and the Celtics are at Madison Square Garden to take on Julius Randle, former Celtic, Kemba Walker from UConn, and the Knicks, 7:30 Eastern. Then it's our primetime West Coast game with the reigning MVP, the Joker, and the Nuggets in Phoenix squaring off against Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and the Suns, last season's Western Conference champs. Two great matchups to tip off the NBA season on ESPN in the app. One app, one tap. It all starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. Again, huge night as NBA season tips off, and we now welcome in Malika Andrews, host of ESPN's new show, NBA Today. And Malika, you always look beautiful, but I see you got your hair did, looking extra cute today, ready to go for tip off. Thank you so much for being with us, and huge congrats on the new show. You've obviously done an excellent job reporting as well, but much deserved. We're excited about it.
Much deserved.
Thank you so much. I had to dress up for Stephen A. today, get my hair done, because you know he always has his done.
I wish.
There we go. Shots fired out the gate, Malika. All right.
Not at all.
I want to start with you on this. What do you think the Nets ceiling is without Kyrie Irving?
Oh, it's still pretty high, right? When you have Kevin Durant and James Harden on your team, you're doing pretty well. And the Vegas odds still have them near the tippy top. The challenge for them is going to be whether or not they can push aside all this drama, right, that I know Stephen A. has touched on a whole bunch. If they can push all of that aside and focus. Kevin Durant has told me he is coming into this season with unfinished business to avenge. And Kendrick Perkins said, from being in that locker room, when Kevin Durant says something like that, that's when he plays like an MVP. So the Nets, they still have a pretty good chance here, but the Bucks, they may have a little something to say about that.
Interesting. I totally agree with you. I've got them winning the championship even without Kyrie Irving, to be quite honest with you. Yes, I do. But I will say this. If there's one thing everybody needs to watch out for, I don't believe that Kyrie Irving is going to sit out for the whole season. Mm-hmm. I think that ultimately Kyrie Irving is going to come back. He can sit up there and stick out his chest and blow VA and talk all he wants to. There's $35 million on the table. I ain't passing that up. I don't believe it for one second. Eventually, he will come back. But when you come back, what kind of attitude are you going to have? How much are you going to care? And how much are you going to be able to shove aside everything to just ball and not be any kind of distraction? Because his mere presence alone is going to invite distraction, because he's going to be incredibly annoyed because the media is going to be asking them about that stuff all year because of the kind of noise he's created.
See, I think Stephen A. and Malika, one thing for the Nets is they can push that noise aside until it happens. When he starts to make a decision on whether or not he's coming back, because he's on the sideline right now and they're pushing forward. And as they win games, nobody will ever answer. If they get into a bad run, Malika, where all of a sudden you look up and they're losing 3 of 5 and or losing 2 or 3 in a row, then the conversation will come up, what if you had Kyrie, would it be this way? As long as they're winning, I think people will kind of push their Kyrie stuff aside until such due time that he decides he wants to come back.
Yeah. All right, Malika, let me ask you this. Giannis got a jumper. Should the Bucks be the favorites?
Well, if they're the favorites, it's not because of his jumper, Molly. And that's no disrespect to the work that he's put in. He has worked incredibly hard. He went 17 of 19 from the free throw line in game 6, which was a huge improvement from the 1, 2, 3 that we heard. But that shot right there, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he wants to hit those, but he knows that that's not his game. If they are the favorites, Molly, it is because they have cleared a mental hurdle. In 2018, when they were getting down to the Raptors, they were being outplayed. They lost mental control. To me, what I saw last year is them clear this place that they hadn't been able to before. And so the Bucks, they thrive in this spot. They're saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, let the Nets have this drama. We are a locked-in team. We have a identity on the defensive end with Jrue Holiday, but it's not the jumper that's making me say that, yes, the Bucks are going to be the ones that are going to challenge the Nets at the top of the Eastern Conference, very likely.
Well, I'm glad it's not what's convincing you, because I'm not convinced he has a jump shot. As far as I'm concerned, the game...
Guys, it was kind of a joke. Everyone's taking it so literally.
No, I'm saying it has been working.
Free throws aren't a joke.
Well, let me say this to you. The reason why we take it seriously, Molly, is because, A, he's proven that he works on his game every day.
Yes, absolutely.
And if he's working on it that hard, then you know he's going to be better. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that in the throes of competition, I have to see it to believe it, because he's so dominant in other aspects that shooting jump shots might take away from what he normally wants to do, and you never know what level of patience he'll be able to exercise in that regard. Having said all of that, they do have something to prove. There are a lot of people that are running around acknowledging that if Kyrie Irving had not gotten hurt, the Milwaukee Bucks wouldn't be champions.
Yeah.
So they've got that to prove.
Okay. A couple more things I want to get to. Malika, how much pressure is on Russell Westbrook this season now that he's with the Lakers?
You know, I don't think that it's all on Russell Westbrook. And yes, I know there are the discussions that are going around of, okay, how much does he need the ball? What about his three-point shooting? Is that going to create enough space for LeBron? But I'm looking at Anthony Davis here. He missed 30 games after hurting his Achilles in mid-February, but he was fit. They were 15-5 in games where AD scored 25 or more points. And they were 23-13 in the regular season when he played. And without him, they were 19-17, which is the same win percentage as the number 9 Grizzlies. So when I look back to when they won the championship in the bubble, and that was a tough championship to win for a variety of different reasons, it was Anthony Davis who people were looking around saying, whoa, is he going to be the finals MVP instead of LeBron James? And so he knows, and he knows that he needs to go into this season and have that sort of play. Russell Westbrook, they brought in to take some minutes off of LeBron. It's going to be interesting to watch him, but I'm looking at Anthony Davis as the person who potentially has more pressure on him.
You know, talking to Westbrook this offseason and knowing that he feels a certain way about the way people think about his play on the court, he certainly understands he's there to take that pressure, much like you said, Malika, off of LeBron James, and just basically contribute at a level that will help bring a championship back to L.A. He's not worried and getting caught up in triple-doubles or anything of that nature. He knows that LeBron, everything's going to go through LeBron at the end of the day when LeBron's on the floor with him.
Russell Westbrook is a high-end competitor. He's a warrior. He's a superstar in this league, and his character should never be questioned. Having said all of that, it is important to remind people of this. Russell Westbrook has Kevin Durant, James Harden twice, Victor Oladipo, Paul George, Bradley Beal, and now LeBron James and Anthony Davis as teammates, and has zero championships to show for it. So this year, with LeBron and AD as his teammates, there is going to be some pressure on him to show up and show out, because you know if he does, they should win it all.
Yeah, Stephen A., but you go back to OKC days. They were young, man.
No, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, they were young.
No, I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying, as a resume, when you reflect on the career of Russell Westbrook, you're going to look at all of those teammates, and you're going to ask, do you have a chip to show for it? That's where the pressure comes from, and that's what he's going to have to answer to with the Lakers now, because this is his best chance to win a championship.
We got this, man. Don't worry about it.
Okay, just like your Dodgers. Atlanta owning you. Malika, I'm focused on Malika. This isn't about you, okay? Malika, Kendrick Perkins, his jump shot. Oh. How'd you feel about that?
Oh, boy. I mean, it should have been Richard. Kendrick, I love you. Oh. But Candace, Queen Candace, it should have been played by Richard because Richard nailed this in rehearsals. I promise. Kendrick, we love you. Stephen A., can you do it better?
That's an NBA guy?
That's a champion.
An NBA champion.
My guy, Kendrick Perkins.
May I come to the defense of my brother, Kendrick Perkins?
Oh.
Kendrick Perkins never, ever, you ever know. In his career was accused of being a scorer.
Doesn't matter.
Ever. That's not what he does. He was an enforcer.
Stephen A.
I'm just saying.
Do you think Kendrick Perkins has never taken a jump shot in his life between college, high school, college,
all
and
right.
the NBA?
All right,
we're gonna give him another chance. We're gonna give him another chance.
Can I answer that question?
Come on, right. Stop.
Malika, thank you so much. NBA Today on ESPN 3 Eastern. Malika Andrew is the host. Check it out. Malika, see what I deal with? You're gonna have to deal with this with the guys.
My goodness, I got Richard and Perk. Best of luck.
Yeah, exactly. We can talk.
Mostly Richard Jeff.
All right, you're gonna crush it and have a great season. We'll all be watching.
Thank you so much, guys.
Okay. Now we want to transition here and wish our best to our good friend Dick Vitale, who announced yesterday that he has been diagnosed with lymphoma. He will be in my prayers every day. Stephen A., I know you guys were close. Your reaction?
Well, we are close, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man. And, you know, he is ESPN. When you think about the fact that he arrived in 79, right after ESPN came to be, he's been here since the beginning. And, you know, he has everything to do with ESPN being the worldwide leader, being the global brand that it is. Dick Vitale is synonymous with this place. And so all of us here and what we've been able to enjoy being a part of this family has been a byproduct of the things that he accomplished and helped build this company into being. And so our hearts go out to him and his wonderful family. My prayers are with you, my brother, and all the great work that he's done with the Dickie V Foundation and the Jimmy V Foundation, you know, the
Can
wonderful
Can I mention
work.
Something
he's
about
just
that
been wonderful.
Really quickly? Yeah. And I know we have to get into commercial break. Obviously, I know what he means to ESPN. I know what he means to basketball. This man with the V Foundation has raised $260 million for cancer research. Can we just applaud that for a
moment?
That is absolutely incredible. And we know how busy he is in his schedule to make the time to do that.
Yes.
And that's a real legacy.
That's right.
More First Take after this break.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The NBA season tips off tonight in the nightcap. The Warriors are in Los Angeles to take on LeBron, AD, Russ, Melo in the new look Lakers. Here's LeBron on what's motivating him this season. Check it out.
Just motivated to have an opportunity to win a championship. That's why I play the game. It's one of the greatest, shortest feelings that you have. You win a championship and everything that you've put into that year just hits you all at once. And literally like a couple hours later, it's like, it's over. And you just, the whole time, you're just trying to figure out how can you get that moment again, seriously. And that's part of my motivation still, just always trying to, you know, get that feeling.
Keyshawn, I'm gonna ask you a question. I feel like there's really two angles you could go here. So if he wins another title, what does it mean for his basketball legacy? But then it's also his Lakers legacy. So go wherever you want with it, because I almost feel like it's two different discussions, the Lakers pantheon and then that whole MJ LeBron debate.
Look, I've always been one that I enjoy greatness. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's going to be a conversation, LeBron, Michael Jordan. But you can't even have an NBA conversation to start with if you can't talk about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You might be too young to see Kareem play. Yeah. I was young enough to see him play toward the end of his career. He still had dominant years. You can't start that conversation without mentioning him. I get it. Michael Jordan changed the whole way we look at basketball and the tennis shoe game and all those sort of things. And LeBron is doing what he does. I don't put them against each other. I know a lot of people want to do that. I will never do that because Magic can be in that conversation as far as I'm concerned. Now when you talk about from a Lakers standpoint, he get another championship in L.A. He can maybe get a statue on the backside of Staples over there on the other side, not in the plaza level where everybody's at, but on the backside. He get three, he goes in front with everybody. That's the way I look at his Laker legacy because when LeBron first came out in this situation and we were talking about getting him, I really didn't want him. I did not, and that sounds crazy, right, Stephen A?
Yes, it is crazy.
I was like, man, I don't want LeBron. And the reason it's not anything personal because he's a friend of mine, I didn't want him because I am a Kobe guy, and I didn't want him threatening the legacy of Kobe Bryant. Right. But I take him full now. That's my dude now. I'm riding with him.
There's nothing that's going to threaten the legacy of Kobe Bryant, I can tell you that. That's number one. But number two, when people ask me what a fifth ring would mean for LeBron James, I say not much.
Not much.
And here's the reason why not much. He's already on the Mount Rushmore of basketball.
Already.
Where's he going? I mean, he's already. I'm telling you right now, the NBA, this is their 75th anniversary season. There has not been three players on a complete level better than LeBron James in the history of basketball. He's already there. And when we talk about Michael Jordan, and we talk about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 19-time All-Star.
Yes.
All right? Six-time champion, six-time MVP. You know, obviously surefire Hall of Famer. The greatest scorer in the history of basketball. And by the way, the only individual in the history of the game with one unstoppable move. Nobody else, Skyhook. Nobody else in the history of basketball has ever had one unstoppable move other than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, period. And so when we look at it from that perspective, all I'm saying to you is that Kareem is up there, but I look at the versatility of a LeBron James, not needing, Kareem 7'2".
But it's 6'1", half a dozen.
Exactly, but LeBron is 6'9". What he could do on both ends of the floor, what he could do in the perimeter, in the interior, in the open court, et cetera, et cetera. I just have MJ number one. LeBron James number two, and because of that, a fifth ring wouldn't change that.
It does narrow the ring count. And do you have LeBron on the Mount Rushmore of L.A. Laker greats already?
Well, when you talk about, hold on, wait a minute. The only reason is because he's only been there for.
So let me lead us to me. Let me get it in my mind real quick.
Magic,
Jerry West, Kobe.
Yeah.
Kareem. Shaq, Big Game James.
No, let me say this to you. Let me say
this. I'm saying you've got to put a lot conversation.
You've got to put Shaq
in the cap.
Kareem,
Magic, Kobe. There's one spot left. Exactly. You take that spot from Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, Will Chamberlain.
You can because A,
guys,
LeBron
spots.
Is better than them. And number
we're
two, it's only four spots.
Spots.
It's not a fifth spot. It's four on Rush.
Oh, four. Yeah, I'm tripping. Right. Yeah,
but you got to remember, the most important thing you got to remember, LeBron already has as many rings as in L.A. Yeah. as Jerry West. So the point is, so Jerry West is a silhouette. We get all of that. But even Jerry West would tell you he can't come before LeBron. He'd tell you that.
So
I'm just telling you.
If we throw in a little things that he's done as a general manager, we can't put that in there,
that's different. But if you talk about just as a player, Jerry West has one ring.
Damn.
LeBron already has one ring.
I know.
You know what's kind of sad? I'm not about to go take my walk on Santa Monica Pier, but that's okay. That's another personal story.
I figured you'd bring that up.
Y'all look golden. You guys must have been in L.A.
Oh, we had a good time.
Y'all
had a good time.
Yeah, it was nice.
Hey, speaking of L.A.
Dodgers, let's go.
You nervous?
No, Walker
That's
Buehler on the mound.
Doctors,
Walker Buehler's on the mound tonight.
You should
be good,
nervous.
Man. We should be all right.
You should be nervous.
No, man, it's baseball. 2-0 in Atlanta. We come home. We got two. We good.
I feel you, but unlike other sports,
we good.
Home field advantage doesn't have that profound of
when
effect
play in
a sport
when
of baseball.
When you play in Dodger Stadium, it does.
That's not true.
Do you know who Walker Buehler is?
Yes, I do.
He's on the mound tonight.
You lost in the World Series to Houston in a game seven on your home field.
They cheated us, and I was at the game.
Gotcha. So was I. I was sitting right
there.
Trash cans. Right.
You
a lot of name dropping going.
Can you please
wear a real outfit next week?
No, I'm wearing this.
Don't do that.
Why?
Don't do that.
They're going to be done. Bye.
Hater.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.